Warning, you will be offended podcast.
Hey guys, my name's Jerry.
And I'm Amanda.
And we are the host of Warning You Will Be Offended podcast, where we pretty much say whatever the hell we want. We don't care who gets offended, including yourself.
Yeah. So if you're someone that needs to edit themselves around family, friends, coworkers, we're that podcast you can listen to and laugh out loud with us.
And we like to discuss a little bit of everything, a lot of fun stories that are going on in the news, a lot of stupid criminal stuff, and we do the fun fact of the week. Amanda, do you have a fun fact that you can share with us right now?
Approximately half of Australia's koala population has a strand of chlamydia. While different to the strand that affects humans, if a koala urinates on a person, there's a chance you can get an infection.
So that is absolutely incredible, and that's what you get if you listen to our podcast every week. So don't be afraid. Don't be politically correct. Come listen to our podcast and have a few hours every month to where you actually feel like you can be yourself.
So come on in and join us.
Live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Well, hello, hello, hello. I bet you didn't think you'd be greeted by a chlamydia koala burst at the start of our show. No, that was indeed a promo for another podcast, Warning You Will Be Offended. Like we said last week, podcast numbers are falling download-wise due to this situation that we're in the world. So wherever possible, we're going to give shout-outs and help to other shows. So that's our first one. That's Warning You Will Be Offended. That's hosted by Amanda and Jerry. You may recognise Jerry. He is the host of one of the most successful paranormal shows. That's The Link, you see. Hillbilly Horror Stories. And they're very kindly going to, what's the word? Quid pro quo, I believe, to get all the Latin on your ass. Yes, they're going to play one of our promos. So there you go. It's all about love in the paranormal community. So do go check those guys out. I hope you are all well. Yes, it is indeed a Sunday. It's time for Sunday sermon. You can tell by the audio quality that I am not with the beautiful Rebecca. She is upstairs and point blankly refusing to join in. No, she's not. That sounds really our loss. She's actually got loads on. So unfortunately, she can't join us today. She said she may spare 10 minutes at the end, or if not, we'll get her on the Patreon. We'll see what we can do. Anyway, I hope that you're all well and good. I sincerely do. We've had so much correspondence that I'm exceptionally humbled and happy by each and every one of you. I hope that you're all safe and well and that you're doing things like, I don't know, taking up a new hobby. I've took up cross stitch. Yes. And I started by doing a very dodgy penguin and then thought I could very quickly jump to doing portraits of people. It turns out I can't. It turns out it looks like the Elephant Man has done a Turin-esque type shroud on some cross-stitch material. Yes, it doesn't look very good at all. No, it looks like I've hit a really ugly person in the face with a frying pan and then smeared their face on some cloth. Yes, but I'm sticking with it because, you know, might be worth a few bob in a few years. Yes, you never know. So, that's what I've been up to. By the way, thank you for the feedback. I was going to say, I hope that you're all like the we don't need to talk about ghosts extras. You've kind of let me know that you do. If anyone's listening to this and they're new to the show due to whatever it may be, shout out from other podcasts or hearing the Jericho episode, this is the podcast. This is the once a week podcast. We need to talk about ghosts, that we do discuss ghosts and we hear listener stories and we all get generally scared together. You will note that it's a different temperature is the wrong word. It's a different format than if you've heard me on Jericho's show, where I'm actually quite, my name's Kevin, I'm a researcher. This is a little bit more laid back. And we have a bit of a laugh and we get scared and we have some nonsense and we just try and get through life together, holding hands and making plans. Yes, indeed. So thank you. Yeah. And obviously the ones midweek, they're just nonsense, really. Me and Becca arguing the toss about life in general, but they seem to be making people smile. So that's good. Yes. So without any further ado, shall we see what's been happening weirdly in the world? Can I just say before we go into weird news? That the Patreon is absolutely amazing during this little period of downtime. And yeah, I am saying that to plug it a bit, but I mean, what a lovely community you all are. So I want to say thank you genuinely to all of the Patreons. And yes, we're about to say thank you to our new Patreons via the medium of song, which we do each and every week. But I will say that, you know, get in at the ground floor with us. It's such a lovely community. If you want to go over and support us through Patreon and get all those extra shows that are out there each week and all that sort of jazz and meet some lovely, lovely people, then go over to www.patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. But as I did say, we have some new Patreons that we're going to welcome via the medium of song. Now, there are three people who I'm going to get thanks within this song. One of them is called Nikki Woodward. Thank you, Nikki, for being a new Patreon. We also have two other people that we need to thank you because we've had an up donation by none other than the Ghost Story guys. They're patrons of ours. Go and check them out too. So thank you, guys. And also Real Life Ghost Stories have signed up to Patreon too. I believe they were already on there, so it might just be a little glitch and they've re-signed up. But either way, they're going to get a thank you. So check out both of their shows, of course, as I say each and every week. But also thank you to Nikki Woodward. So if you'd like your name sung in song, you know what to do. But in the meantime, here's the guitar. Yes, it's out. So let's write you three an original song. Nikki Woodward, send up to the Patreon today. And isn't she having fun? Citation needed. She ran into Emma and Han from Real Life Ghost Stories. And then they shot the breeze. Guns are not allowed in the Patreon, okay? And the Ghost Story guys were drinking and having fun. Just drinking and having fun. I'm not sure if Brennan and Ian actually drink. In fact, wait there, no, I'm sure they do, because once I heard them discussing hangovers. Hangovers. Finish it on a seventh. There you go. That's a song for you three wonderful people. Don't forget, if you want to be where all the cool kids hang out, then go to the arcade or the pub. But if you want to be where the paranormal cool kids hang out, go over to the Patreon and sign up. www.patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. Have you seen this Starlink satellite thing? Something to do with Elon Musk. I don't know too much about it. But all I do know is that at certain times of the evening throughout Europe at the moment, you can see like 62 satellites in unison flying across the sky. Now, if I had a child, I would literally be saying, that's Father Christmas. And you know what? You've been naughty. So he's delivering everyone else's presents now during this period of lockdown. And you've been too naughty. I mean, the child would have had to be naughty for that to count. I wouldn't just be all arse and be like, ha ha, you're a perfectly good child, but you're not getting anything today. But yeah, so maybe you might want to use that as a way of punishing your children. Fucking hell, Kevin. Anyway, let's find out what's been happening weird in the world, shall we? Yes.
Weekend Weird.
Yes, it's time once again to see the weird things that have been happening in the world. And you may recall a couple of weeks ago, we discussed a conspiracy theory that's doing the rounds to do with the naughty C word, that whilst everyone's in lockdown, allegedly could be all a hoax, it's not obviously, that has been perpetrated by the New World Order. Yes, dun dun dun. And the reason for this is that, according to the conspiracy theory that is that there's going to be a giant alien invasion that none of the governments want us to witness, so they want us all to be indoors so we don't see this invasion. Seemed rather pointless, really, because you're going to eventually find out. However, the point of reiterating this conspiracy theory is because in the last few days, we in Europe have been experiencing the Lyrid meteor shower. Now, this is an annual event which can cause up to 200 shooting stars in the sky at any one time. Now, it is a bit peculiar that for the first time in since I can remember anyway, and I follow these sorts of meteor showers, there has been a massive increase in the reports of fireballs in the sky that have been created by them. So not just your standard shooting star. These are like fireballs crashing to Earth. If you Google and have a look on YouTube, there's loads throughout Europe of these giant fireballs slowly burning up in the atmosphere. Could it be the Lyrid meteor shower? Yes, it definitely is, by the way. However, if we all recall the start of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, yes, that starts with giant fireballs coming down to the sky, doesn't it? So are we about to be taken over by an alien race? Or is it actually A, just a pandemic, and B, just the annual meteor shower? Time will tell. Well, we'll be back next week with more weird news, unless, of course, our alien overlords have demanded we all talk Klingon. In which case, clack, 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 clack. That's not Klingon, Kevin. Never mind.
Weekend Weird.
And we are back. Yes, indeed we are. Shall we start getting scared? I think we shall. And I think we can all, I think we can all agree that Kevin gets generally more scared when he's doing these alone. So there may be a very frightened Kevin at the end of the other side of your earphones, because when I do them with Becca, there's kind of a literal point of rationality there in Becca that she's like, yeah, but was it the wind? I'm like, yeah, good point. Let's not get scared. However, I'm doing this episode alone, so there's a high likelihood, as we've seen previously, that I'm going to be shitting myself. So let's begin this debauchery, shall we? Now, our first story is going to be a repeat of a story we told last week, and there's a reason for that. You will notice that last week, within the edit, something's went amiss, and there's a section of the story where you hear my voice twice, and it kind of ruined the atmosphere, and it was a great story. So I did promise the gentleman who sent the story in that I would read it out again this week fresh. But if you think you got the gist of the story last week, feel free to skip ahead this story. Just press forward 15 seconds a few times and you'll get there. But I do think that even if you heard it last week, it's worth hearing again. So my apologies to Mr. Christopher Murphy. This is your story read out correctly without any F-ups. And this story is called, as you may recall, Ghost, Demon, Something Else. So for this story, I'll give a little history. My grandmother died in November 1980, 6 months before my parents got married. My father, who had a really hard time with his mother's passing, and as he was a fan of the paranormal, in brackets, where I get it from, he looked into ways of contacting her, i.e. astral projection, meditation, mediums, etc. He did a lot of research and learned what he could. Now, one evening in the winter of 82, my parents and friends of theirs decided to play the Ouija board. Now, no one knew of my father's intentions, so they sat around the board, my mother with a pad of paper, and the only people touching the board being my dad and their friends. So they're goofing around, and then the planchet starts to move around. They ask the board for the name of the spirit, and it spells out Daniel Murphy. No relation that we know of, but he was from the 1600s. Now they ask the usual silly questions. But then, my dad asks, "Do you know me?" To which the board replies, "Yes." So my father asks, "How?" And at this point, my father has taken his hands off the board, and the board spells out M-O-T-H-E-R, mother. At this point, my mother says, "Oh shit." So my father, still not touching the board, asks, "Is she there?" The board says, "No." So my father asks, "Where is she?" The board replies, "Dead." So my father says, "But you're dead." And the planchet forcefully moves to no. His hand back on the board again, they move it back to yes. The board again forces it to no. By this point, everyone is getting a bit spooked, so they decide to put it away. An hour or so later, and they jokingly decide to take it out again to see, in speech marks, if it's still around. Well, it was. Now they put it away, and truth be told, I don't think they hung out altogether again. But I'd like to say that's where the story ends. However, it doesn't. There's more. My father was up watching TV one night, and my mother was laying in bed, in brackets, impregnant with me. The lights in the apartment started to go dim slowly, almost to the point of off, as if they were on a dimmer switch, which they weren't. And then they would flare up. This happened a few times. So my father chucked it up to a power surge. The next day, he saw the landlord and asked if there had been a surge the night before. They went in and checked the meter, and no, there hadn't. A week later, the same scenario. Dad is watching TV and mum is in bed. And again, the lights start to dim. So my father calls down to the landlord. Oh, I should clarify, they lived in a duplex. So my parents had the upstairs apartment and the landlord the downstairs one. So my dad calls the landlord, who comes upstairs, and the two of them watch the lights dim and then flare up. Neither one of them could explain it. Now, I'm not sure of the time frame that passes between this story and the next part, but my mother was still pregnant with me. So as usual, mum is in bed and dad is up watching TV. My mother calls out, "Doug, there's a smell coming from the corner of the room. It smells like rotten eggs." My father goes to check. When you would walk into the room, you wouldn't smell anything, but as you get closer to the corner of the room behind my mother's bedside table, the smell gets even stronger. So my father moves the table and checks the walls, but there's nothing there. After a few minutes, the smell's disappeared. So my father went back to watching TV a few minutes later, and my mother calls him again, saying, "It's back and it's getting stronger." By the way, only yesterday, whilst listening to you explain about corners, did I draw the comparison to a story I've heard 100 times. Now, as far as I know, after that, nothing really happened. And 2 months before I was born, they moved into a house, which I grew up in, where they still live today. I have other tales which I will write and send about that house. But keep in mind, when they moved, they brought the Ouija board with them. And let's be honest, we don't know what was attached to it. Dun, dun, dun. And that is the whole of the story, read out properly without any interruptions. So apologies, Chris, for last week. You can hear mine and Rebecca's reaction to that story on last week's episode. But to give you a brief synopsis, I did say that it was very strange there was a smell of sulfur because, as anybody knows who likes the paranormal, when demons and evil spirits are around, allegedly there's a smell of sulfur. The reason for this could be numerous. It could be that they like lighting matches, which I don't think it is. Apparently, but as we all know, the smell of sulfur is associated with hell. Me and Becca went to a volcano on one of the Greek islands that you can walk upon the surface of, even though it's active. And the smell of sulfur was, oh, honest to God, it said, "Don't get too close, you'll faint." And it was very crappy health and safety. You know, like if it was in the UK or America, it would be behind like 17 feet of railings and you'd be wearing a gas mask. Here, there was literally like a yellow circle painted around the part you're not meant to step on because it was bubbling sulfur. Brilliant, really. It was, you couldn't even walk. It said, "Do not walk on this if you have sandals on because or rubber soles because it'll melt." So they were like giving out these like wooden feet attachments so you could walk on it. It was brilliant. I'd suggest anybody goes walk on a volcano. But yeah, Chris, an amazing story. Absolutely terrifying. Anything to do with the good old yes, yes board or Ouija is a story that I like to tell. So thank you, Chris. Apologies for last week. And if anyone skipped that, I don't blame you because it was half done last week. But I did want to make sure that I could do it without any sort of interruptions and clear and concise because the story warrants it. So thank you, Chris, and apologies again. Now, should we all get to stories that we haven't heard? Yes, I think we should. Okay. Now, our next email is a bit of an update email, and I love it when these happen because it's basically someone's listened to the podcast and they've heard a story and it's reverberated with them and they've wanted to let us know. So this is from Kim Jones and she's from Tulsa, 24 hours from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she found our podcast through the Ghost Story Guys, the wonderful Brennan and Ian, yes. So Kim says, "Hey, Kevin, hey, thanks so much for providing C-word-free entertainment. You're welcome. I may retain some semblance of sanity thanks to you and Becca." Well, that's the point of it. I'm glad you say that. "I was just listening to the story from Kim Smith on your latest show, and the comment about not knowing who are at the shops or alive or dead reminded me of an experience I had a couple of years ago. I was at the grocery store and noticed an elderly couple in the aisle a short distance from me. The woman was looking at different brands of spices and was obviously having trouble choosing. The gentleman was looking over her shoulder and smiling. They looked so nice together, just enjoying a simple shop together. I smiled to myself and glanced down to put something in my cart. When I looked up a split second later, the man had gone. There was no way even a young man could have moved that fast to reach the end of the aisle in that time, and I immediately realised it must have been a ghost. I saw the woman a couple more times as I finished the shop, but the man wasn't with her. I kind of wish I'd said something to her, but I wasn't sure how she would have took it, so I chickened out. Ghosts are okay, but live people scare me." Kim, I completely agree, and I do sincerely think that you have witnessed a ghost there. And how lovely that he's just looking over the shoulder going, "Oh, not Chinese, five spice again. What's in it? Nobody knows." It's an amazing story, that. I do love it. I might have told you this before. In fact, I probably definitely have. My mother, God rest her soul, well, she didn't know her mum because her mum died when she was exceptionally young. However, my mother was shopping for shoes one day in Highton Village, which is in Liverpool. Yes. And she went into, this is obviously in like the 80s or something. And she couldn't decide between two pairs or something. And this woman came up to her like on the other side of the shoe rack, and said, which ones are you stuck with? And she went, this, these and these. And she said, oh, don't wear them. They wouldn't suit you. The other ones are going to be, will be much better for you. And she never met this woman. And she went, right. But she felt familiar. She was like, right, okay, thank you. And she put the other hair back and then thought, who's like brazen enough to come up to you and do that? So she walked out of the shop where the woman had just gone and looked up and down. And it was early in the morning. There was no other shops really around that area. And the woman had just disappeared. And she described her to my auntie, who's a lot older than my mum. And she obviously, she knew her mother, if you like. And when she described it to her, she said, that was your mum. Very strange, yes indeed. But thank you, Kim. What a story. And don't forget, if you have stories to tell us, which is the whole point of the show, then send an email in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And we, of course, will read them out, because that's the point. Yes. Anyway, let's have more spook. Our next email comes in from Scott Walton, and Scott writes to us from Australia. And I can do the accent because I've got family in Australia. Yes, I do. Well, I don't really know them, but as I think I've touched on in a previous podcast, he was a gangster. Yes, my dad's cousin was a gangster. He was murdered. Yes, Spaghetti Tony, his name was. Tony Eustace. I don't know any of that side of the family, actually. Anyway, but I'm not just blowing up some hidden secret there. There was a program made about him, apparently, in like a drama and all that sort of stuff. Yes.
Now you know.
So he says, I'd like to send a big hello from the Katoomba in the beautiful Blue Mountains in New South Wales. Thank you, Scott. Secondly, a big thank you to, big thank you for your podcast, which has entertained me thoroughly for a while now. You guys have a refreshing approach to the topics at hand and provide many belly laughs along the way. Well, thank you, Scott. Scott then goes on with an introduction about himself and the fact that he was a paranormal investigator, although he cringes at the term. And we will go on about that introduction that We will go on about that introduction that Scott has put in one of the We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts, because we'll do one about paranormal investigators in general this week, I think. So we will mention his introduction through one of the shows this week, but we'll get to his stories. So he says, I have many experiences and I have a couple of incidents I'd like to share with you, which to this day have only been told to an intimate circle. So the first one is called The Dove. Whilst I was exploring the buildings of Port Arthur in Tasmania, in brackets, one of our most notorious convict settlements, I discovered a strange little completely white corridor in the Commandant's cottage. I have no idea what this little hallway was used for, as it was around 1 meter wide and 4 meters long, ending in a large sash window. I was about to leave when a white dove flew up against the window and just stayed there, buffeting its wings against the glass. I was transfixed by it, and after a few minutes it left, and I discovered that tears were falling steadily down my cheeks. I was not overcome with sadness, but more a feeling of emptiness. Following that, I went outside to shake myself and grab a coffee. Fair enough. That's a very short and rather emotive story you've put there, Scott. I like that very much. I wonder if that was the corridor where people would be told, you're going to be hanged by the neck until you're dead. And they go, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm going to go out and cry to this dove. Maybe, Scott, yes. But thank you for that. The next story is called The Snarling Man. In my early 20s, I was at a location west of Sydney helping some friends do a short film for their university project. It was a place we had rented near Hillside, which contained a very old cottage within the bush. I was taking a smoke break outside with my legs dangling off the porch, looking up at the trees, when I heard what could only be described as a part guttural laugh slash part snarl. Looking down to my right, I saw the source of the sound. A man in dishevelled old-style clothing squatting down and leering at me, no more than 5 feet away. I instantly started to spring up to my feet, and the moment briefly I looked away to get my hand placement on the porch, he had disappeared. That one rattled me a fair bit, and if I wasn't smoking tailor-made cigarettes, I would have questioned what was in them. I'm not surprised one bit there, Scott, because that's bloody awful. I'm picturing like a proper gold prospector, you know, squatted down, covered in dirt, hat on. No corks, because that's a racial stereotype. You know, just sat there, g'day, mate. Want to come round the shed? Oh, got some pappies for you. That sort of thing, you know, and naughty man. Anyway, that's terrifying. The next one is called The Thing Upstairs, and to quote Scott, it's a cracker, yes. We have been called to a large house in regional New South Wales. I'm not going to share the location, as I promised not to. The couple that had purchased it were convinced the house was sucking the very life from them. Financially, they were completely tied up with this investment and had no other options. They wanted to start a family, but did not want to with the house the way it was. So we went to visit and followed the steps above. Now, when Scott says the steps above, that's all within his lengthy introduction about how they approach things as paranormal investigators, which we will go over in one of this week's We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. I continue. We came to the unanimous conclusion that the building was under the control of a very nasty elemental. Not the nature kind, which I tend to refer to as genius loci, but of the man-made variety. Whatever had occurred in the house over the nearly 9 decades of its life must have been truly horrible and tragic. We could only find loose strands of information and nothing we could really find as concrete. Whatever it was, the misery, horror, and sadness that had collected within the very fabric of the home had become its very own devastating entity. Ultimately, we agreed to conduct a purging on a grand scale. We each took up positions around the inside and reciting the rite like a mantra, following the usual spreading of salt and the lighting of beacons, incense, etc. You get the scene. I took a position in the large upstairs sitting room, and this was the place where it seemed most concentrated. The rite took 3 full days and took a lot out of us. When it seemed our actions were having no effect, we got a break on the 3rd evening. We got our second wind and decided on giving the rite 1 final earnest push. Something happened before me that gave me nightmares for many years. To this day, I still have more questions than answers. The light levels dimmed dramatically and a noxious odour along with a strong chill developed in the air. From the ceiling, some 20 feet away from me, something like a large black bulge began to descend. It was like a huge drop of dark treacle, slowly descending down to the floor. Upon reaching the floor, it broke open like an egg sac, and something crawled forth deliberately in my direction. I can only describe it as vaguely humanoid. It seemed to be a cross between a man in a torn-up scuba diving suit and a bat. Indeed, it crawled towards me awkwardly like a bat does on a flat surface. I was petrified, and I really don't know how I kept chanting. Running wasn't an option, as I was frozen to the spot. I can only remember it getting close to me and me shutting my eyes and almost screaming the words. In seconds, it was gone. The smell and the darkness had lifted, and the only thing remaining was a heavy pattern of condensation all over the floor and ceiling. I think I aged a few years in that room. Long story short, most of my associates refused to do any more investigations with me following this, although we still remain friends. That is horrible. I can visualize all of that as I'm saying it. And the closest thing I can get to it is, you know, the Gimp Man from American Horror Story? Him, but if he went through his shredder. Oh my God, that's abysmal. Thank you for that, Scott. My brain is now soiled and it will never be clean. He continues, as a poet, I couldn't help but write a poem about the incident some years later, which I later made into a song. Fair play. To qualify, do I think a demented scuba bat thing appeared physically to attack me? No. But in a weaker moment, the entity must have got a little insight into me. Oh, sorry, must have got a little insight into me, as 2 things that unsettle me are crawling bats and the deep dark ocean. Quite clear, yeah. Even though I love all things nautical. Then presented itself in a weird amalgam of both. One thing we did notice when we were wrapping things up the next day was how empty the house felt, and now it echoed everywhere. It wasn't a bad emptiness, though. It was like a blank canvas for the homeowners. I did it a few years later. They had added 2 children and a dog to their family and were all good. I've pretty much hung up my hat since becoming a father and now get my fix vicariously through fabulous podcasts such as yours. I too have a folk horror novel coming out sometime. It's just being torn a new arse in editing, and I'll send you a copy someday when it's finally out. Cheers and thanks for your time. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Scott. Oh my living Christ. What the hell was this bulge coming from the ceiling? I can picture that brilliantly. It is like something out of a horror film. But to your credit, a horror film that I haven't seen. It's not tropey because, as I say, the closest I've got to it thinking what it looks like is that like gimp outfit man from American Horror Story. But he doesn't walk like a bat. No, he doesn't. And he doesn't come out of an egg sack that came from the effing ceiling. Yes, I think we can all agree that we won't sleep tonight. Thank you, Scott, from Australia. That was bloody terrifying. Okay, shall we try and get some sense and calm into our minds and bodies and go make a cup of tea / cup of coffee / hard alcoholic drink following that story, and let's maybe have a midpoint. Hooray! Yes, let's do it now. So, our midpoint today, we actually have an email regarding the midpoint. Yes, we do. We have an email from Gemma, and Gemma writes, "Dear Kev," hello. Oh, you didn't say hello. "Dear Kev," dear. She says, "The Gemma midpoint song that you do on some episodes, can I ask what the reference is? I don't get the joke." Well, Gemma, I'm sorry to inform you, there is no joke. Yes, basically what it is, it's semi-racism on my part, because when I think of German discos, I get it drastically wrong. In a nutshell, as a child, we didn't have satellite, well, we did have satellite TV, but there was one channel called RTL, which is a German channel, and a young teenage boy would have several reasons for trying to watch that channel late at night. I'll say no more than that, but basically, on the adverts on this channel, there was constant adverts for party lines. And they were always like, you know, people in 90s clothes, like dancing around in the living room. And then it'd be a cut screen with someone else who's dancing around in their living room. They're both on the phone. There's like disco lights. And they're like, "Yeah, you like party? You like party? Phone party line. 999. Unch, unch, unch." And I love these adverts because they're so good. And then it's always stuck with me. So in later life, in my 30s, and now I've just turned 40, I still like to say to people, "Wir ist in Partien, in Party ist in Meinenhausen. Wir ist in Partien, in Party ist in Samstag. Samstag? Nein, Freitag." And I mess it up. You know, I just do it each and every way. So that's the answer, Gemma. There is no point to it. There is no joke to it, other than the fact I personally find it hysterical. So I do hope that that's answered that question for you. Yes, indeed. I do hope that you're all well. I will now use this occasion and this time to reiterate how you can get in touch with the show so that we can get more content. Yes. So please send your paranormal stories. Doesn't have to be about ghosts, you know. It can be about Bigfoot, Yetis, Nessies, anything else that ends in E's, and UFOEs. Please. Abductees. Yes, there's another one. So send it to contact@talkaboutghosts.com and I will read them out. Or, oh, sorry, contact@talkaboutghosts.com is the full address. You can get us on Facebook as well. It's facebook.com/talkaboutghosts. P.S. I love you. No, P.S. I must also give a big thanks and shout out to Holly on the Facebook group because she's been amazing. She's been daily. Basically, Amazon Kindle have been releasing spooky tales and spooky books by none other than Peter Underwood, who is one of the most famous paranormal researchers in the UK. And each day he's been releasing these books. And Holly has been sending links through to the page each and every day, Holly Eardley. So thank you, Holly, for doing that. I'm sure I'm not the only one who needs to give you some thanks there. I've downloaded about 4 of them. They're great. So, yeah, thank you, Holly. But that's the sort of content you can get on by going over to the group, yeah. So facebook.com/talkaboutghosts. You can also get us on Twitter @talkaboutghosts and Instagram. Just put an underscore. I can't say it. It's too long. But put underscores in between the words, "We need to talk about ghosts," and you'll find it. Okay, I think that does it for the midpoint. Shall we get back to some scary stories? I think we shall. See you on to the side. And we are back. I hope that you're all well. What's that? You are. Oh, wonderful. Thank you for speaking into your iPhone / listening devices / Alexas. Oh, I wonder, do any of you play this like on loudspeaker? Let me see. Alexa, order me. Let me see. Alexa, order me some handcuffs. Interesting. And now the FBI will be round your house swooping on you to say, "Are you a kidnapper, sir?" And you'll be like, "No, I'm pretending to be a copper, governor." Anyway, enough of that nonsense. So we've obviously had another email in because that's how the stories of the show work. And this is from the wonderful Kayla Murphy. And she sent in an email entitled, "A Helpful? Ghost." Let's see. "Hello, Kevin and Becca." And then she spelled Becca about 19 different times. And I can confirm one of them she has correct. Well done, Kayla. She says, "I'm going to jump in and do niceties after." So this is Kayla's story. "My aunt has a close friend, B, who has for many years lived in a haunted house. B's husband was out of town and it was in the middle of winter in a mountain town in the Colorado Rockies. B left my aunt's home one night, and, due to the late hour and the weather, my aunt waited an appropriate amount of time before calling B to make sure she'd made her home safe. Well, the phone rings, in brackets, way before cell phones were even a thing, and rings and rings, and on the last ring before the answering machine picked up, the phone was picked up and a man answered. He greets my aunt, who asks if the man is C, B's husband, and if B was there. The man says, "No, I'm Rick. B isn't home yet." Tells my aunt to call back in 7 minutes, and he hangs up. Exactly 7 minutes later, my aunt, in brackets thoroughly freaked out, calls again, and this time, B answers. She's out of breath because she's just arrived and had to rush to answer the phone. My aunt tells B to check the house because a man had broken in and may be laying in wait to attack. B looks around the house while my aunt is on the line and concludes that no one is there. She asks my aunt what was going on, and as soon as she heard the name Rick, she let out a sigh of relief. Rick had been haunting the house for years. Mostly he was helpful, even a benign presence. He even folded their laundry sometimes and kept bats out of their attic. Rick sounds like a bloody charmer, doesn't he? "Hello, Rick here, ex-butler, now in the afterlife. I like to clear bats from attics." Yes. When B and C had their son, Rick moved out temporarily because of the crying. Wow. Eventually, Rick became more trouble as B's son grew up, so a man came to the house and got him to leave. Now there are bats in the attic, so I guess you win some, you lose some. So there you have it. Rick was always seemed a pretty decent ghost, but the fact they got rid of him makes me think maybe there are stories that I haven't been told. I thoroughly enjoyed the podcast, especially now that Becca is appearing, in brackets, and Paul McCartney is not. I think Becca brings you some much-needed scepticism, Kevin. She does indeed, and I'm sad she's not here today, but you know. There are some things that early on in the show you would have been positive were proof of ghosts that you are now more critical of. I completely agree. I like that because it shows you are becoming more discerning and require more than just a scare to believe it's a ghost or paranormal. I do, but sometimes that slips. Anyway, keep it up and I hope you've enjoyed the story. I certainly have. I have a few others, but we'll only write in if you're ever short of stuff. And she says, that's unlikely. Tatty bye, Kayla. Well, I will say this, Kayla. We are never not in need of stories. I will say this. So please do take the time and write them and send them in because they will get read out. Normally within a few weeks if you're sending them in. We're never that short. As you can tell, I like to waffle. I like to read out as many stories as I can. So please send them in. Yes, now I'll pass Becca on your regards. There was actually a story from Lucy White, which she sent in. A really good story as well. So Lucy, we have got your story. But she does say, you know, Becca may get a kick out of this. So I can't kind of do it without Becca being here. Honest to God, she's taking over. She's doing me head in. She's not really. I love her. Anyway, thank you so much for that, Kayla. That's a great story. Okay, we've got time for one more tale, and then it's daddy bye. So the next tale is again from Australia. Tell you what, Australia love this programme, I tell you that much. That was a Scouse accent, not an Australian one. And this is from Jasmine. Thank you, Jasmine. And the title of this story is called The Boy Next Door. She says, "G'day, Kev." G'day. Well done. You know what? That's the first time I've said g'day. Normally it's hi, isn't it? Hi, Kev. And I say hi. But I'm going to read that out again because I enjoy doing it. G'day, Kev. G'day. My name's Jazzy and I live in Australia. Absolutely love the show. I especially love when you talk to yourself when you're freaked out because it reminds me so much of how I talk to myself when I'm alone and something spooky happens. Fair enough. Hearing the phrase, "oh fuck right off," come out of someone else's mouth other than mine was oddly comforting. I can appreciate that, yeah. Anyways, on to my story, which unfortunately starts quite sad. About 8 years ago, my partner, my daughter and I moved into our current house, a townhouse in a slightly disadvantaged area. We shared a wall with our neighbours and because they were quite loud, we decided to take that bedroom instead of add to our young daughter's sleep issues. At least once a week they had a loud argument which usually ended in either smashed windows or the police being called. They seemed to be on some form of drugs, to be honest. Now, the neighbours had two kids, an older girl who was rarely there, and a 14-year-old boy. He would slip little notes in our mailbox apologising for his parents' behaviour a few times a month. Oh my God, that's heartbreaking. You know what? Honest to God, I don't want to get all... Tell you what, some people just shouldn't have kids. Honest to God, some people should be bloody tested before they're allowed to have kids. Fucking cruel little gets. Honest to God, it winds me up. Sorry. Anyway, she continues. Where are we? It broke my heart. I bet you it did. We had him over for dinner once a week to get him out of that toxic environment. Well done, bloody you. That's lovely of you, that. Well done. We learned that he had a heart condition and was frequently in and out of hospital. This went on for about 6 months, until one day I woke up at 4 a.m. to police sirens outside. I just assumed it was a regular disturbance, but had a horrible sinking feeling. I got out of bed and looked outside to see the coroner's car and saw them wheeling someone out on a stretcher covered in a white sheet. I raced outside and found it was our 14-year-old neighbour who had died from a heart attack. Fucking hell. We were devastated and offered any help we could to his parents, but they never spoke to us again. They moved out within the month. Fast forward a few months and my partner was at work at about 9 o'clock in the night. My daughter was in bed and I was settling in to read. Suddenly, one of my cats jumped on the bed next to me and started staring at the wall. Then after a few minutes, ran from the room. I thought nothing of it, but it kept happening. Every night, 9 o'clock, one of my three cats jumped on that bed, stared at the same spot on the wall for a few minutes and then bolted. Eventually, all three were doing it at the same time. After 4 days of all three reacting, I spoke out. Boy's name, is that you? I waited and could have sworn I heard a tap on the wall. I jumped out of my skin, but I didn't feel threatened, so I spoke again. Okay, well, you're scaring the cats and me. I'm glad you're here, but please don't scare us. I heard another faint tap, and the cats started acting normally. Thank you, I hope you're okay. We miss you. I started crying but felt very happy all of a sudden. This was almost 7 years ago and nothing has happened since. I honestly think our friend next door was trying to say goodbye but didn't know how. Finally he got through and he could go. Anyway, thanks for reading my story and I hope it wasn't too heavy. Hope you and the lovely Becca are keeping safe. Well, well, that bloody affected me more than it should have. That's strange, isn't it? Let me just have a little swig of this coffee and a regroup, shall we? Yes, let's. Jeepers. I don't know what to say about that story, Jazz. It's terrifying and it's one of the saddest stories I've ever heard. I have visceral, and you know, hold on, and before I say this, I know that everybody, no one in the right mind is going to say that they condone any sort of emotional abuse to children. So I'm not trying to say, ooh, aren't I special by feeling it? But I have a visceral, angry streak about bad parenting. And I don't mean bad parenting about, you know, like, oh, the good parenting. If, you know, they can often get confused when it's like, oh, you know what? They don't let him play out after 8 o'clock. Yes, because he's a child. Or they only let him play for an hour on PlayStation. Yes, because he needs to be doing other stuff. Or she needs to be doing other stuff. But, you know, when you see bad parenting, you're like, I see it when I walk through supermarkets in Liverpool sometimes. There'll be some absolute mess of a parent and the poor child who didn't ask to be born. And the kid's like, can I have a lollipop? No, you fucking can't. And you're just like, oh my God. So there's nothing that riles my... I would save life to get hold of some parents, you know. I really would, because these poor sods don't ask to be born. They don't ask to be born. And they're dragged into environments like that. And it absolutely, you know, it should be a capital punishment crime. It really should be. It really riles me. Anyway, this is a ghost story podcast, not a civil liberties podcast, so I'll shut up. But, Jazz, what a story. And you know what? I hope that little... But you, by the way, bringing him in, one, the notes that he was leaving, fucking heartbreaking, as you say yourself. But bringing him in for a meal and stuff, that, well done, you. Round of applause for you. Well done. Yeah, and I do hope that it was him that you're communicating with and that he was at peace somehow. A heart attack at 14, though. Fucking hell. Pardon my French, but you know what? Tell you what, it puts it all into perspective, doesn't it? Well, you've ruined my day now, Jazz. Thank you for this. I'm joking, you haven't. You've just made me become very, what's the word? Reflective, shall we say. Like a mirror. Yes, indeed, like a mirror. Wow. Well, if you have a story like Jazz's, then keep it to yourself because I don't want to cry. No, I'm joking. If you have a story as beautiful as that and as heartbreaking as that, send it in, but obviously try and make a paranormal like Jazz did. So send in your ghost stories too. contact@talkaboutghosts.com. We've had a few reviews and we've had a few emails, but in truth, I'm not really in the mood after that story to read them out and be jovial. And we've gone on for 45 minutes, so I think, you know, that's adequate enough. So we will read out all the jovial stuff next week. Bloody hell, what a way to end the show. I'm sorry, everybody. I don't know why I've took this sudden turn. I've angered myself. That's what the issue is. I've angered myself. It's not your story. Well, it is your story, Jazz. You completely fall for this. I'm joking. What an emotive story. That's what a good story should do, though, isn't it? Really. You know, I'd much sooner have a profound effect of a story, then read a story and go, well, there you go, eh? Don't set fire to condoms. I don't know why on earth you'd set fire to condoms. But you know what I mean. So thank you, Jazz, for that story. Sincerely, I'll be telling people that story. And that's a sign of a good story. As in, I know I'm telling it now, but I mean, I'll be in the pub when we're allowed saying, get onto this. How heartbreaking is this? And how terrifying, how supernatural, and how wonderful. So well done. 11 out of 10 for that story, Jazz. I hope that you all have a fantastic week. Don't forget, we'll be having extra episodes out this week so that we can just have some nice chats and you can hear someone not talking about the C word and we can all escape for a little while into our little minds. In our case, little minds, anyway. So Becca will, I don't know whether she's coming on the Patreon one after this, actually, because she's gone out to do some shopping, which she's allowed to do, yes. So it'll be me on the Patreon one after this show. Yes, if you're a Patreon, you lucky, lucky things. And this week, I'm going to be looking at and discussing the haunting of a house in Ealing, where you may have heard of this, where it's a very famous one in London, where people feel compelled to leap to their death from the roof. Yes, very eerie. So if you want to find out about that, you need to go and sign up to Patreon. www.patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. If you don't want to do that, that's absolutely fine. None of my business. But if you could go and share the show, tell people about it, leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts, that'd be great. It all helps. So Becca will be back with me for some of the We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts through the week. In the meantime, make sure you look after yourselves. Be nice. Just be nice. It's quite simple, isn't it? And don't forget, if you've got a story to tell us, send it in. contact@talkaboutghosts.com. Okay. You have all been lovely. And I love each of you dearly. Not in that way. Well, you never know. I'm joking. Becca's not here. Look at me. Wee, the cat's away. The mouse will get in much trouble if she hears this. Anyway, I will speak to you all through the week. Tatty bye.